Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of evolutionary voices for the quantum age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience evolutionary voices for the quantum age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com.
Welcome to Awakening to True Happiness with modern-day mystic David Hoffmeister, offering you the how-to to spiritual awakening by addressing on a practical level answers to your deepest questions. David Hoffmeister is a world-renowned teacher of A Course in Miracles and has been traveling the world for the past quarter of a century, offering his wisdom to audiences wherever invited. On this show, you'll hear recordings of David's best live talks, inviting you into an experience of deep wisdom and true clarity. To learn more about David, visit his website at davidhoffmeister.com. Awakening to True Happiness with David Hoffmeister is part of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the movie day. Beautiful, beautiful. Destiny is probably the deepest topic that you could ever go into because intuitively, deep in our hearts, we know that our destiny, our ultimate destiny, is to know God, to remember our true identity, to remember the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. But it's interesting when you apply that word destiny to linear time and to time and space. A lot of times when people are reading the Course, they start to get this destiny feel, particularly in workbook lesson 158, where Jesus says, "The script is written." The script is written sounds very much like a destiny idea. It sounds very much like a determinism destiny idea. And yet, today's movie will give us an opportunity to really explore this idea of destiny. Because before we can wake up and remember our divine destiny with God, we have to, you might say, solve the riddle of destiny that this world of time and space presents. So get your Sherlock Holmes hats on now. We're going to be exploring very deeply today the topic of destiny. And so what we're going to see is a movie that basically, kind of like Family Man, where Don Shadow is the angel and gives the main character, played by Nicolas Cage, a chance to look at a different scenario. And it's interesting when we think about, sometimes people call them parallel universes or the multiplex, the multiverse. What Jesus is taking us towards is that all these potential, what we might call lifetime scenarios, are actually all happening simultaneously. So it's not like it's a multiverse of linear time. It's actually that all of these scenarios that we might call lifetimes from a rebirth, reincarnational perspective, they're all happening simultaneously. And when we tune into a scenario that we call our lifetime, from birth to death, we're just tuning into a tiny, tiny fragment of the multiverse, of the simultaneous universe. That's not something that human beings think about a lot because it's they say that's mind-bending. It's more than mind-bending. That's that is literally taking you beyond a linear perspective and opening to the simultaneity of time. But for our purposes, we know there are a number of movies that give us a glimpse at these different scenarios, and these different scenarios are only meant to be used by the Holy Spirit to bring us back to the present moment. The only purpose of time is to teach that there is no time. That seems like a contradiction or a paradox, but not to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can use whatever the ego made linear time, and then the Holy Spirit uses linear time miraculously to collapse it, to bring the Alpha and the Omega together and to collapse time. That's what miracles do. And literally, miracles save what we would say on Earth is thousands of years. Miracles collapse time by thousands of years. So it's beautiful to think that you're working with Jesus in A Course in Miracles, and whether you're aware of it or not, but every time you're allowing miracles to be performed through you, through your mind, you're collapsing thousands of years in terms of what it would seem to take to come to the present moment. In reality, it takes no time at all to be who you already are, but experientially, we're talking about coming into it in an actual direct experience, awareness of it. So before I get into describing the movie, I thought I would just start off with some very juicy quotes from Jesus that kind of set this movie up. I don't think I've ever done this movie with these quotes, but here we go. This first one is from chapter 11. Jesus says, "The ego may see some good, but never only good. That is why its perceptions are so variable. It does not reject goodness entirely, for that you could not accept. But it always adds something that is not real to the real, thus confusing illusion and reality." I'll say that line again. The ego, but it always adds something that is not real to the real, thus confusing illusion and reality. For perceptions cannot be partly true. If you believe in truth and illusion, you cannot tell which is true. So the ego is clever, it's sneaky, and it's like it blends. It tries to blend the good with something else, or it tries to blend the truth with something else. So that's why you might say that Jesus says the Holy Spirit has to work with your mind to sort out the true from the false. The Holy Spirit is the great interpreter that knows the difference. If you're going to have a teacher, you want a teacher that knows the difference between the truth and the false, because the whole problem of this world is believing in a little bit of both. You know, sometimes as a human being, you go, well, that resonates with me. Ooh, that feels good. That sounds like the truth. That sounds like it's the truth speaking. And that's the part in our mind that recognizes. And that's the Holy Spirit. But when there's confusion, when there's doubt, when there's complexity, that means that there's been an attempt to mix a little bit of the unreal in with the real. It's like having a milkshake, and you're having a real milkshake, and then somebody sprinkles in some unreal. It's a mix. You drink it, still okay. Seems okay to me. It's not. The real, I want a real milkshake. I like milkshakes, so I'm using, the first time ever, I'm using a milkshake metaphor. The second quote I'm going to read for you is, it says, this one's from, chapter 30. "The Holy Spirit looks upon the world as one, as with one purpose, changelessly established, and no situation can affect its aim, but must be in accord with it. For only if its aim could change with every situation could each one be open to interpretation which is different every time you think of it. So over the years, I've talked about ego thinking as situational thinking. If you just contemplate your day, you're thinking of different situations. If you contemplate your year, or if you even look back at the past, you're tending to think of memories of situations. And Jesus is telling us the Holy Spirit looks upon the world as with one purpose, changelessly established, and no situation can affect its aim. So basically what he's saying is the Holy Spirit sees a unified world. The Holy Spirit sees that this entire world is actually, the entire cosmos also is actually simultaneous. But the ego breaks it off into bits and pieces, and then it strings them on a timeline, and it calls this reality. But time, linear time, is not reality. Even Einstein, the great quantum physicist and scientist, said past, present, and future are but a stubborn, persistent illusion. Basically, Jesus also says that the ego tries to force continuity on past, present, future. And Jesus is saying this is actually impossible because the past is gone and the future is but imagined. So you've got two hallucinations, the past, a hallucination of what has already gone by, and the future, a hallucination of what's to come, you see? And if you try to force continuity, that's the ego. And this is why, for the human being, this is why their life, their very life, feels frustrating. It feels confusing. If you ever feel like you're a contradiction, it's because the human being in linear time is a contradiction. If you ever feel like you're not all there, it's because you're not all there. Christ is all there, but the human persona, the mask, is not all there. I used to, the more I talked, let the Holy Spirit and Jesus speak through me, people would sometimes be stunned and sometimes be shocked. And sometimes they would go, David has lost his marbles, or David is not all there. And I say, yeah, that's it. That's true. I'm not all there. David is insane. Yeah, that's true. Christ is not, but David is. Okay. You start to realize that the personality self that you've believed in is not what it seems. It's not actually very reliable. It's a mask. How reliable can a mask be if the truth is underneath, if it just hides the truth? So here's the same quote. It continues on. This is one of my, oh my gosh, if there's the most fascinating quotes from the Course. This is like, if we've got our Sherlock Holmes hats on today, this is the quote we need to begin to unravel our perception of linear time. He says, you add an element into the script you write for every minute in the day, and all that happens now means something else. You take away another element, and everything and every meaning shifts accordingly. That's fascinating. Jesus is giving us the key to the kingdom with that sentence. You add an element into the script you write for every minute in the day, and all that happens now means something else. You take away another element, and every meaning shifts accordingly. That sounds like our first quote. The ego may see some good, but never only good. That is why its perceptions are so variable. It does not reject goodness entirely, for that you could not accept, but it always adds something that is not real to the real, thus confusing illusion and reality. Whoa! That quote. Then that quote about adding an element. And then finally, our third one is, this is from chapter 18. The holy instant, the holy relationship, the Holy Spirit's teaching, and all the means by which salvation is accomplished would have no purpose. For they are all but aspects of the plan to change your dreams of fear to happy dreams, from which you waken easily to knowledge. put yourself not in charge of this, for you cannot distinguish between advance and retreat. Some of your greatest advances you have judged as failures, and some of your deepest retreats you have evaluated as success. Wow. Wow, wow, wowsy, wowsy, wowsy. Ding, 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 ding. Maybe that's because this world is what Jesus calls an impossible situation. So when I think I know anything about this world, I'm clueless. I would say that would be ignorance, to think you know something. To think you know something about seconds or minutes or hours or days or weeks or months or years. No. To think you know something about men and women. No. To think you know something about interpersonal relationships, good ones, bad ones. No, no. He's basically saying you cannot judge between your advance and your retreat. Some of your greatest advances you have judged as failures, and some of your deepest retreats, like away from the light, you have evaluated as success. Imagine, you know, you graduate from school, high school or college, and you think, now I've got my diploma, my degree, here we go, I'm going to start to be able to get a good job, make lots of money, I can buy lots of things, I can have lots of things. And Jesus is like, slip sliding away, slip sliding away. The nearer your destination, the more you're slip sliding away from the light. You cannot judge your advances from your retreats. What you have judged as successes in this world are retreats from the light, from going within to the kingdom of heaven. Everything, he says, in this world is backwards and upside down. That's why we need movies like today, because when we believe we're here in time and space, we don't know what a gain or a loss is. We don't know what an advance or a retreat is. And sometimes, when, like the Grace Slick song, let the world around us just fall apart. Baby, we can make it if we're heart to heart. There we go. Patricia and I are dancing to this song. Grace Slick. She's got grace. Her name is Grace. We should pay attention to that song. That when we start to feel like our world is falling apart, like they're going through a dismantling, I don't know, some of it, now we're coming up to the eclipse, and a lot of you are feeling like intense energy, things are falling apart in your life, it feels like a drumbeat. I read something the other day, and they said, please, please, whatever you do, don't make any major decisions for the first 14 days of April. The psychic was pleading, don't. And we're right in the middle of those 14 days. But here we go. We've got the Master Jesus here, and we've all got our Sherlock Holmes hats on, and we're going diving deep. Because, Linda and I had a talk recently about destiny, but this is like a deep dive. This is like going way down to the bottom of the mind, so you can just go down there with Jesus and settle into stillness, away from thinking, oh, I know what things mean. I know what's coming. I know what I did yesterday. We don't. We really can't judge the past or the future. And we really can't judge anything at all. That's what we're moving into, is just a state of total peace and acceptance. So I'll just read that last sentence again. Some of your greatest advances you have judged as failures, and some of your deepest retreats you have evaluated as success. So we've got this thing in our mind where the ego's always trying to tell us that it can tell the difference between the hero human being and the loser human being. And the ego's saying, you want to be the hero. You want to be the hero. Try to be the hero. And then when things don't come out the predicted way that it should be for a hero, the ego goes, loser, 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 loser. You see, the ego is going to get you one way or the other. It's going to try to generate guilt, either by giving you a false concept of being the human hero or the loser hero. And that's no hero at all. And it's going to bounce between those. Oh, you got the promotion, very good. Oh, you attained something, very good. You got the job, very good. Oh, you always wanted a family, very good. It's always going to tell us we can get things that we want that we really don't want because we want God. We want to wake up and know God. So all the outcomes of this world are based on chasing fantasies and chasing dreams. And then Jesus says, the one thing you can tell is when you have achieved these goals, they have not satisfied you. And so then the ego is forced to shift to more different goals, more different chasing pipe dreams. And then some of them you achieve, some of them you don't. But when you have achieved them, there's still a state of discontent. There's still a state of lack. There's still a state of, is there more? What was the famous Peggy Lee song? That's going back probably to the 1960s. Is that all there is? Is that all there is? Oh, have we ever said that to ourselves? Is that all there is with this world? Is that all there is? And Jesus is saying, oh, there's something much, much, much beyond this world. But as long as you believe in the ego, you believe in lack, and you're going to be on the hamster wheel of chasing down things that will never satisfy you. That's why we have Mick Jagger. I can't get no satisfaction, but I've tried. And I've tried, and I've tried, and I've tried. I can't get no. You know, it's Mick Jagger is helping us out here. He's actually saying, you are not going to be satisfied with the images of this world because they were made to cover over reality. They were made to cover over the Christ self. And the Christ self is a fact. That's the actuality. That's what self-realization is about. That's what self-actualization is about. And that is what the atonement is accepting the correction and accepting our Christ self. So Larry Burroughs he's going to go back and he's going to replay this in his mind. If I just hit the home run, I would have been the hero and my whole life would be better than it is. And this belief that our life would be better, our life on earth would be better if something in the past were different, or even hypothetically if we think if something in the future would be different. When I find my soulmate, I'll be happy. When I graduate from university, when I have the job that I want, when I find my dream job, I'll be happy. The ego will just take fantasies and will try to turn anything in form into a goal. Because the goal is not form. The goal is abstract love and light. So the ego will constantly throw as many distractions around in the dream world to see what you will jump on. And this is what Jesus might call temptation. The temptation to be something that you're not. It doesn't matter what the form is. I recently read a book and the author was basically saying, well, bottom line with the course, the only way to, if the world's like a video game, the only way to leave the video game is, number one, to be vigilant and don't think that the controller of the video game is in the video game. You have to come back to your mind. You have to come back to the dreamer of the dream position in order to escape. And then he gave a beautiful little suggestion. He said, actually, this is the one thing I would recommend for waking up from this world. Don't value any aspect of it. You see, because by valuing any aspect of the world, then you make it real in awareness, and you make it into a goal. You make it into an outcome that's a goal. But the kingdom of heaven is within, so basically that's good advice, is basically if you think you see something in the world that you still want or is still valuable, just pop open your workbook and go to lesson 128 and have Jesus remind you, the world I see holds nothing that I want. The best teaching from the Gospel of Thomas was be passersby, and that's what Jesus says in lesson 128. He says the only thing that you want from this world is to pass it by. You're waiting at the end for something positive, and he says, pass it by. That's what mysticism is about. It's about passing by the images of the world, the outcomes of the world. So oftentimes, the most time, often when people will pray, instead of just praying consistently, they pray when things seem to go bad in their earth life as they would judge it. But this is the opportunity. Sometimes when things get dark, hurtful, painful, depressing, this is the time when the mind will do what Helen Schuckman and Bill Thetford did. There must be a better way. That's what Bill was saying to Helen Schuckman, because she worked with him in the same office. And he just gave a little speech, and he said, there must be a better way to live. And then he thought she would just laugh at him, but instead of laughing, she said, you're right, Bill, and I'll help you find it. There's the joining. And this is kind of the universal joint within us. That's the Holy Spirit and Jesus within us, who are always waiting for our mind to pause in the middle of all the distractions and go, help. I need help. I need something different. I need a new way. I need a new perspective. I need new thoughts. I need new emotions. I need something new. So he's about to go into the universal joint. He said earlier, the story starts out, a man walks into a bar. Well, he's the man now. He's walking into the bar. The bar's name is the universal joint. And in it will be our Holy Spirit character, played by Michael Caine. And you really can watch closely now the interactions between Larry and Mike, because this is depicting our interactions with Jesus and the Holy Spirit within us, turning for help, disclosing what we think the problem is, even though our perception of the problem has got false cause and effect relationships in it. Oh, I'm hungry because I didn't eat anything for breakfast. Or in Larry's case, I'm not feeling good about my life, and it's because I struck out when I was 15 years old. And the story that he tells his wife over and over, I struck out when I could have hit the home run and my life would be so much better, he's thinking, if I had just hit the ball. Even when he's working on his car, you know, she's like, you're still thinking about that silly baseball game. She's probably heard it 100 times, but this is the way the ego works. It's just telling us things would be better if they were different. Things would be better if something had happened different, if I didn't divorce this person, if I didn't marry this person, if I didn't have children, if I did have children. No, it's always telling us if the circumstances of the past were different, then I would have a better life, that I would feel better now if something in the past was changed. And that applies to the whole world, because Jesus is saying the whole projected world is the past. So even if we think of a better future, we have a visualization of a better future, and it's different than what we're perceiving now. It's still, I call it the past and the future past. If you're visualizing a different future than the past that you've had, you just don't realize that they're the same. It's just still trying to change the past, change the circumstances, change the situation. So here we go. Hold on to your hat, your Sherlock Holmes hat, because the hat may fly off here pretty soon, because we're going to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit via a bartender disguise, the Holy Spirit disguised as a bartender. Okay. So the saying goes, don't cry over spilt milk. But spilt milk is what? Past tense. That's just the Holy Spirit reminding us, don't cry over the past. And if we wonder why, we can say, Jesus, why shouldn't I cry over the past? Maybe we enjoy crying over the past. But Jesus is telling us the past is gone. The future is but imagined. The past is gone. He says, the past is over. It can touch me not. He's telling us over and over and over that if we focus our mind on the past, we are focusing on illusions. We will focus on grievances, on hurts, on painful memories. And the whole teaching of the Course is to come to the holy instant, to be reborn again with a clean, fresh start in the present moment, and to let go of the past. There's no other more direct description of happiness than to let go of the past. But if you believe you're a person that you're living in the past, that you think it's present, you think it's present reality, then that's a deception on a scale so grand that it has nothing at all to do with reality whatsoever. So here he is telling Mike at the universal joint of my life is shit, I'm 35 years old, he's giving him the whole description, and Mike says, I have just the thing for you, it's called the spilt milk. And basically, this is a drink that is going to give him an opportunity to really come into full gratitude and full appreciation for everything exactly as it is, exactly as it appears. We read those quotes from the beginning, and Jesus said, you know, the problem is the ego is trying to add an element to the script every minute of every day, and all the Holy Spirit wants us to do, and all Jesus wants us to do, is not to add that element. If you're making a shake of real thoughts, he's saying, don't put any other ingredients in the blender. Do not put a scrap of a wish that things be different. Don't put the tiniest speck of the desire for fantasies in this world, because the only thing that makes this world of guilt seem sticky and seem real is trying to mix in an element of fantasy. And the fantasy is a wish to be separate. It can take many forms, but the wish to be separate from God, just a little pinch. You look at your milkshake, it's beautiful, it's pure. It's a pure, pure, pure vanilla milkshake. And Jesus is like, good, good, drink that, drink that. And then you go to your cupboard and you get a little pinch of something. It does not matter what. Whatever you throw into that milkshake is not going to be what you really want, because reality and truth cannot mix with illusions. And that's what Jesus is teaching us. So when we say, like Larry Burroughs is saying, my life would be better if I'd hit the ball. If I'd hit the ball, then life would be so, so much better. And Mike's just saying, you know, well, some people believe that things are the way they are for a reason. Another thing is good to remember is that as we perceive this world, the world is just an outpicturing of our thoughts and beliefs, our desires, our emotions. So it's a motion picture of what's going on in our consciousness. If our consciousness is not pure, in other words, if it's not, we haven't forgiven consciousness and reached the top of consciousness, the forgiven world, the happy dream, then we're going to get a mixed bag of perceptions. And that's why it's so confusing, because we're perceiving mixed perceptions. We're perceiving a mixed bag of perceptions. We don't have that aim that we read about, the aim of the Holy Spirit that is constant, is changeless. So as long as we're trying to add an element of ego to every minute of every day, we're not really seeing clearly. We're seeing a very distorted world. And then when we react to that distorted interpretation, Jesus is telling us, you never react actually to the form of things. You react in your mind to the interpretation of the form. You know, you go to a funeral, for example, and you're at the cemetery and you see 12 people that are crying, and then you turn over and there's one person there that's laughing. They must have a different interpretation of the funeral. Crying, laughing. Jesus is saying you don't react directly to your images, you react to your interpretation of the images. And as long as we react to the ego, the personal perspective, the personality perspective, our emotions are going to be like a rainbow. We're just going to have a huge variation of emotions because of our interpretations, which are incorrect. And Jesus keeps telling us, only the Holy Spirit's interpretation will make you happy. Nothing else. You won't be able to find different variations of ego interpretations to try to find the right combination. He says, no, that will never work. Only the Holy Spirit's, only right-mindedness will bring the peace. So here we go. Larry's about ready to drink the spilt milk, the beautiful, pure white drink that Mike has prepared. And really what this is going to be, it's going to be another opportunity to choose again, to really choose again, to find the miracle. So for some of you who go into our Movie Watcher's Guide to Enlightenment, you know, there's a movie called The Butterfly Effect, and there's another one called The Butterfly Effect 2. This is showing that when you change the form and you try to make it better by making it different, it doesn't work. This movie is just using a one-time kind of switch, and then will be a return back to the original. But The Butterfly Effect, the main character in both movies, one and two, they try to play the script out different over and over and over and over to achieve a desired outcome. That's what's so helpful about these movies, is they're basically showing what seems to be reincarnation is really just using a variety of scenarios trying to get a better outcome, a better state of mind. And by switching the script and shifting the scenes, you know, that never does. We can see that in our daily life as a human being, you know, where you think, oh, when I move away from my parents, it'll be so great, I'll have more freedom, I'll have more opportunities. Yeah, we've all done that too. We've moved out of parents' houses. We've moved to different countries. Oh, I can't wait to get to Mexico. It's a microclimate. Oh, I love the climate. My life's going to be so much better. Or another country, or try another language, or try another scenario, try another partner, try another anything. And we start to realize that our happiness is not really dependent on the circumstances or the situation. And Jesus told us this in his quotes that we read. He basically was saying, until you have a single purpose, a constant aim, until you have the one aim of the Holy Spirit, which is changeless, you will not find a consistent state of mind. Only consistent right-mindedness or consistent connection with the Holy Spirit brings a stabilization to perception, a stabilization to our on and off emotions, up and down and back and forth. We're caught in a constant reset mode because we're flipping back and forth between the right mind and the wrong mind. And the Holy Spirit is the right mind, and that's the only way things stabilize out. So you can see already he's tried to get back to his home. He went back to the past. He was surprised that the driveway was paved. He had a lawn, a front lawn. And then he thought that this big guy was preventing him from getting into his own house. But, you know, even a lot of us have tried that sometimes when you go back to your childhood home. And Jesus even talks about this in the workbook. He says, you know, perhaps you think you could find it in a childhood memory. And he says that this childhood memory, like going back to a childhood memory to find the truth, is but a distant memory from a past that never happened, he says. Wow, that's so much for going back through old photos to reminisce for some little nostalgia. A distant memory from an ancient past that never happened. He's trying to free our mind from the past, from thinking that anything that we remember from the past has any meaning whatsoever, or anything that we anticipate in the future has any meaning. He's loosening. So here we go. The shock of his life, Larry Burrows. He wished he'd hit the home run, and it's been changed. He did hit the home run. And now he has a different house, and more than that, he has a much different perceptual dream in this scenario. So here we go. Here we go. Unraveling linear time. Antonio, this is something the Enneagram won't teach you, but here we go. The Enneagram just tells you about the pieces inside of the dream, but this is much deeper. So Mike's there, and he says, your destiny. He's not talking about our destiny to remember God, but he's talking, that's the ultimate destiny, but he's talking about our destiny in time. He says it's determined by a very complex, you notice that Mike used the word complex, a very complex sequence of decisions and choices. What is the ego but a complex belief system? And what does the ego generate except a complex series of seeming choices? Seeming, I tell you. Seeming. Complexity and seeming goes together. The ego is complex, and the ego, Jesus tells us, invented linear time. As I said earlier, Jesus says the ego tries to force continuity on past, present, and future. Force. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is quite amused by the whole thing, but you see the allowance of the Holy Spirit like, and this is where it gets practical when he says, are you an angel? He says, no, not exactly. I make the suggestions and you make the decisions. That's how guidance works. Guidance is not coercive. Guidance is not you must. Guidance is like here. Little prompts, little nudges, here. And then you have to decide what? To accept the guidance, to hear it and accept it, or to reject it. You see? It's not coercive. Guidance is not coercive. You have to have willingness. You have to have an invitation for the guidance. You have to have a willingness to listen and follow. That's why we call it pray, listen, and follow. The ego might say, well, if you want to do the first two, all right. You know, I don't recommend it. But if you want to pray and listen, go ahead. But pray, listen, and reject. Pray, listen, and reject. This is what the ego says. Even if you're aware of it, reject it. Do not follow it. And this is how the unwinding of the ego, the unwinding your mind back to God occurs, because the prompts, the little nudges are there continuously. And Jesus says, you've been actively resisting the Holy Spirit's voice, you know. There are many answers, he says in the Course, there are many answers you have received but have not heard. The mind has received them in the Holy Spirit but has not heard them because it's too afraid of these guidances. Why would the sleeping mind be afraid of the Holy Spirit's guidance? It's terrified. It doesn't want to lose a sense of humanness, a sense of individuality, a sense of autonomy, personal autonomy. It's absolutely terrified of the light of the Holy Spirit because that's the undoing of the construct of time. That's the undoing of the mask. It's the undoing of the personality. That's where the terror comes up. There are many answers you have received and have not heard. So in this case, Larry Burrows is shocked. He comes rushing out of the house, and Mike gives him a little scenario saying, I make the suggestions, you make the decisions. Really what the Holy Spirit is doing, though, is like, he's basically this gentle presence in our mind that's just saying, choose again. But when the Holy Spirit says, choose again, the Holy Spirit is asking the mind to perceive or interpret the world differently, not to perceive a different angle of the situation, but to perceive from above, from high, high above the battleground, with the Holy Spirit. And this choice that the Holy Spirit is trying to offer to our mind is a choice of purpose. So every single second of every day, there's a choice between a grievance and a miracle. There's a choice between holding on to the self-concept and letting go of the self-concept. At one point, Jesus even has a beautiful phrase in the Course where he says, would you rather be right or happy? Would you rather be right about the linear way that the ego set this whole world up and your false identity? Or would you rather be in the miracle and be happy? Would you rather forgive and be happy or be right about the misperception? And every time that you get into an argument, every time there's a fight, every time there's a disagreement, all it is choosing to be right about a false identity, to be right about pride, to be right about the persona. It's always just a choice to try to be right about separation. And that's a grievance. To be right about separation, let's admit it, it's a grievance. So this is where the Holy Spirit just gives many, many, many opportunities to choose again. But it's not to choose again in terms of form, it's to choose again in terms of purpose. What is the purpose of my life? The purpose is to forgive the world. Is there any other purpose? No. Wow. That's why I must really need A Course in Miracles or some version of the universal curriculum, because I'm going to have to find a way to choose to forgive anything and everything. I'm going to have to find a way to choose to forgive the belief in linear time. That some people might say, well, that's like trying to teach a fish that there is no water. That's a pretty good analogy. How do you teach a fish that there's no water? Through lots of guidance, you know. Maybe you let the fish jump out of the water sometimes and flip around on the beach. Maybe you let it soar through the air and then go splashing back in the water. But whatever, there has to be a change of purpose to start to realize that there's a purpose for everything, and it's not the one that the past has taught. It's something entirely different. It's entirely new. I like it when Jesus says in the Course, try to think of this moment as the only time that there is. Isn't that a fun exercise? That's a good exercise. Try to think of this moment as if it's the only moment that there is. That to the ego says that's ridiculous. But to the Spirit, it's like, no, I'm very sincere. I actually mean it. Jesus keeps saying the past is over and gone. It can't touch you. You're free in the present moment. You're free in this instant. But the entire ego attraction is the belief that we can change the world. That is the same as the belief that you can change the past. Because workbook lesson number 7 says, I see only the past. So if everything I perceive through the 5 senses, the sights, the sounds, the smells, the tastes, the touches, all of it, if everything that's through the 5 senses is the past, when we want to change the past, we're just asking for the past to be different. We believe that there's a better version of the past. And that shows you how deep the sleep is, because to try to change the world is to try to change the past. And Jesus is saying the exact opposite. He's saying, seek not to change the world. Seek rather to change your mind about the world. Change your purpose for the world. The world was made in hatred. Why not take on forgiveness as a new purpose in your mind? But changing the purpose in our mind, it's even more difficult than changing behaviors. Because again, to change behaviors is just trying to change the past. You know, people who go to 12-step programs, maybe they've been addicted to alcohol or to drugs or to sex. Maybe they've had some kind of a shopping addiction. And when they go to Alcoholics Anonymous, they're basically hoping that they can come out of that addiction. But really, all judgment is really the addiction in the mind, the sleeping mind. And how does that judgment play out except the desire to change the past? That's the great frustration of the world. Change the climate, change the people, change something, but not change the perception by finding a new purpose. It's the whole trick of the ego. The ego's plan of salvation is that if something other than my mind changed, I would be happy. And you can see now, probably the strongest temptation, even though all temptations ultimately are the same, but the strongest seeming temptation is enacted in relationships to try to change the past, to change the person, or change the situation to relieve the mind, to bring about the healing. The whole course, the whole workbook of the course is about changing your mind, about your mind, by changing purpose from ego to forgiveness. Our apps, our forgiveness AI app, what's the purpose of that? Change your mind, change your purpose. What's the purpose of the David AI app? Change your mind. I hope it says that. If it doesn't tell me that, I'm not going to use it. It's about changing your mind, changing your purpose, changing your interpretation, changing your focus of attention. And you can see, we're going to see what's going to happen now when you have a motive in your mind to reclaim something from the past or change something back to the way that you thought it was, or even think you can change something for the better for the future in the form, then that is the great addiction of the ego. That is the ego's whole trick. If you see that it's the ego's trick, and you say, I'm through trying to change this world. I'm not going to try to improve my personality. I'm not going to try to improve my circumstances. I'm not going to try to improve my situation. In fact, I'm not going to try to change anything of this world. Then Jesus is just smiling from ear to ear, just going, oh, accept all things exactly as they are. How sweet. Let it be, let it be. You know, he likes that McCartney song. That's a beautiful song, let it be. Speaking words of wisdom, let it be. That's the release that spiritual awakening is all about. You don't wake up to heaven until you have no desire to change the past or to seek something from the past. As long as the past is desirable, the holy instant won't be desirable. But as soon as you feel like, I mean it, I actually mean it, my goal is God, then watch how the images fade away in terms of valuing them. You know, you go out in the morning, you open the door, it's a rainy day. Okay, rain, 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 love it. You wake up the next day, it's a sunny day. Sunshine on my shoulders makes me happy. You know, you wake up, it's a tornado. Wee, this is fun. I was driving the other day, and we were in the car going down the road, and there was a dust tornado, and it was right. We got a close up, like look out the window, and this big tall dust tornado was just swirling, like a little miniature tornado. I was driving. I was like, wee, look at this. Everyone's in the car. It's wee. You have to see the world with sameness. You can't be afraid of some aspects of the past and be attracted to some other ones, you know, it's the same. Jesus says, make this year different by making it all the same. He's just saying, see the sameness of the past. The desire to get an outcome completely obliterates the function of forgiveness from awareness. In fact, giving and getting are complete opposites. You can't be in giving mode and in getting mode. That's like trying to mix truth with illusion. That's like the giving mode is like your vanilla milkshake. I like that metaphor. I'm coming back to the milkshake. It's like your pure white vanilla milkshake. And the getting mode is like trying to throw something else in. Because giving and getting are different motives. One's coming from the Holy Spirit, one's coming from the ego. The ego is the getting mechanism in the mind. Underneath his desire to get Alan back is the belief still that the past can be changed. And the teachings that Jesus is giving us in this course is, the past is over, it can touch me not. There's nothing about the past that can be changed. If you start to apply that to perception, you know, it's going to bring you into radical mysticism. You will start to radically go into deeper prayers, radically toward a silent mind. Because if you're not trying to change the past, it means you don't have any goals or ambitions to attempt to make the world of form better.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Awakening to True Happiness with modern-day mystic David Hoffmeister. You can access more of David's teachings by visiting his website at davidhoffmeister.com. Tune in to David again next week on Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 radio network.